Radio Prague News.
Authorities in Ostrava have ordered the demolition of a building in the city's Roma ghetto. Actor Tim Robbins is to make a film in Prague about the Velvet Revolution, and Czech competitor Barbora Špotáková has won gold in the women's javelin throw at the Olympic Games. Authorities in the city of Ostrava have ordered the demolition of one building in the Přívoz district ghetto, home to a community of Roma recently ordered to vacate the area. The announcement came on Friday morning with an order for the demolition of house number 9, one of 10 in the area and described as in the worst condition, ordered to take place within 15 days for reasons that the property is in a dangerous state of disrepair. Last week, local authorities ordered Roma families in the area to evacuate the ghetto, again, ostensibly for health and safety reasons, although many families have refused to do so. American actor Tim Robbins, star of movies such as The Shawshank Redemption and The Player, has reached a deal to direct a movie to be called Wenceslas Square about the events of the 1989 revolution that led to the downfall of communism in Czechoslovakia. The movie, to be shot in Prague, will reportedly centre around a male CIA agent and a female agent of the communist secret police known as Esther Baer, who is tasked with attempting to undermine her American counterpart. The film is based on a 2007 short story of the same name by US author Arthur Phillips. Casting for the project is set to begin later this year, with filming taking place in the spring of 2013. This will be the first fictional movie to directly and centrally dramatise the events of November 1989. Czech competitor Barbora Špotáková has won gold in the women's javelin throw at the Olympic Games in London. The athlete dominated in the competition. Her longest throw was 69.55 metres, but all four of her attempts were more than any of her nearest rivals could muster. Špotáková becomes just the third competitor in Czech Olympic history to defend her title at the Summer Olympics, a feat previously achieved only by legends Emil Zátopek and Jan Železný, who is Špotáková's coach. Špotáková won her first gold medal 4 years ago in Beijing. The medal brings the Czech tally at the London Games to 8. A new poll released by the Meridian polling agency gives former caretaker Prime Minister Jan Fischer 34.5% support in the upcoming presidential elections to succeed Václav Klaus. Such a result would virtually guarantee Fischer progressing to the second round of voting, in which only two people would vie for the public vote, the first of its kind in Czech history. The poll indicates a small increase in support for Fischer, while former Prime Minister and presidential candidate Miloš Zeman is in second place with 14%, followed by 11% for Jan Švejnár, who ran against President Klaus in the 2008 elections, the last to be decided by Parliament rather than the public. The presidential elections will be held in January 2013. A baby horse or fowl said to be the great-great-granddaughter of the last wild Przewalski or Asian wild horse subspecies to roam freely in the country was born at Prague Zoo on Friday. The foal was born in the early hours without zoo staff present. Her mother, Hara, was born in a German zoo and gave birth to her first offspring a year ago. Prague Zoo has had Przewalski horses in its care since 1932. It has since returned two such horses to their ancestral grazing lands in the country of Mongolia. Staff at the zoo have suggested that if all goes well with its newest horse, she too could one day return to the wild in Mongolia. And a quick look at the weather. Cloudy conditions with sunny periods are expected on Friday. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of around 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Dominic Yoon, and that's the news for now.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Thank you for joining us. Here's what's coming up in today's show. A row has broken out between religious representatives and the Social Democratic Party over its election campaign, which the former compared to hate-inciting propaganda of the Third Reich. We'll also have a roundup of the business news, and a little later in the program we talk to Jana Fantova. She's the curator of a show on Now, highlighting the work of the country's best comics artists. A controversial campaign by the opposition Social Democrats directed against the Church Property Restitution Bill has turned into a major brawl with Czech Catholics and other churches after church officials compared it to anti-Semitic and anti-clerical propaganda of the Third Reich Social Democrat leaders fought back and called into question the Catholics' own record from World War II. Jan Richter reports.
The Czech government's plan to give the churches and religious groups back property nationalized by the communist regime in the 1950s is highly unpopular among Czechs. In various surveys, up to 70% of those polled said they did not agree with the plan to return some 135 billion crowns, or nearly $6.6 billion worth of property, around half of which should come in the form of financial compensation. The bill, approved last month by the lower house of parliament, is now awaiting debate in the Senate, controlled by the opposition Social Democrats, who say they will turn it down and send it back to the Chamber of Deputies. But the Social Democrats have also decided to highlight the issue in their campaign ahead of October's Senate and regional elections. The campaign includes posters, billboards and other materials depicting a hand in a blue sleeve, a reference to the center-right coalition parties giving a sack, presumably filled with money, to another hand in a priest's ornate. The picture is accompanied by a slogan accusing the Civic Democrats and Topo 9 parties of planning to donate 135 billion crowns to the churches. The Social Democrat move raised the ire of the Czech Catholic Church, which is said to receive the bulk of the property, as well as smaller religious groups, including the Jewish community. In a joint statement for the press, church officials said the electioneering propaganda of the Social Democrats was similar to the anti-Semitic and anti-clerical posters of the Third Reich, later painted red by the Czech communist ideologues. Referring to a ruling of the country's constitutional court which upheld the church's rights to their former property, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, Cardinal Dominik Duka, explained what made the church's act.
We understand there might be objections against the bill, but disrespecting a ruling by the Constitutional Court, disrespecting some fundamental rights and juggling with a referendum on the issue, that is a new form of discrimination against of religious people in this country. That's the reason why the various Christian churches and the Federation of Jewish Communities came up with this statement.
A Federace židovských obcí vzniklo toto prohlášení.
The Social Democrats showed no regrets about the form of the campaign. They called the church's statement scandalous and retaliated with an attack on the Catholic Church, questioning its role in the wartime Slovak state, a satellite of Nazi Germany. Social Democrat MP Jan Hamáček is in charge of his party's campaign.
I have to say I'm profoundly shocked by the rhetorics of the Catholic Church, because the only thing that my party is doing is opposing the government proposal that is currently discussed in the parliament. We don't dispute the fact that remedy must be done and the property that has been confiscated by the communists should be returned. But what we do dispute is the amount of money that go with it and should be paid out as compensation.
The campaign will have little effect on the outcome of the lower house's final vote on the issue, scheduled for September. The passing of the bill will largely depend on whether the coalition parties maintain their ranks. Meanwhile, observers say the Social Democrat campaign is likely to win the party some of the more radical left-wing vote, although it might put off moderates. It will also probably diminish support for the Social Democrats in the eastern part of the country, which is more religious than the rest.
Jan Richter reporting there on a brawl or row that's broken out between religious representatives and the Social Democratic Party over their campaign for the autumn elections, which is strongly opposed to the restitution bill or the restitution of church property as being presented or pushed by the right-wing parties. If you'd like to comment, the address is english@radio.cz. Now, we turn now to the business news, and for that I'm joined by colleague Dominic Yoon.
Inflation reduced its rate of growth in July, rising 3.1% year-on-year against a rise of 3.5% in June. The data from the Czech Statistics Office shows that groceries, non-alcoholic beverages, clothing and footwear prices all declined in July. The figure was lower than the forecast of 3.3% and underscores the impact of low consumer demand. However, with recent record temperatures causing extreme droughts and flooding in parts of the world, food prices are expected to see a dramatic increase at the end of September, particularly in cereals and oil use products. Additionally, new Czech Statistics Office data showed the second straight month of decline in industrial production, down 2.4% in May and 2.2% in June. Domestic orders were down 10.5%, while demand from abroad rose by 1.4%.
The Czech Republic's postal service is among four of the most efficient, according to an unusual study carried out by a group of college professors and economists at the U.S.'s Dartmouth College. In the test, the group sent letters to non-existent businesses at non-existent addresses in 159 countries and then waited a whole year to see which postal services returned the letters. Only four countries, Luxembourg, El Salvador, the United States, and the Czech Republic, returned all the letters back within 90 days, as stipulated by the code of the Global Universal Postal Union. Meanwhile, 16 countries, including Tajikistan, Cambodia, Russia, and several nations in Africa, returned no letters. According to the architects of the study, the aim was to study the efficiencies and operations of government departments in which potential gain through corruption, stealing something from a letter which in this case had no value, is eliminated as a factor.
Unemployment rose in the Czech Republic in July to 8.3%, according to new data, with 485,597 people looking for work, up more than 11,000 against June. Also, according to the Labour Ministry, on average there are now 12 people for every job opening in the country. The figures represent the first increase in unemployment numbers since a peak in February of 9.2%, after which unemployment figures began to decline. The Most region has the highest rates of unemployment, 15.8%, while Prague has the lowest at 4.3%. Unemployment for those aged between 20 and 24 stands at more than 15%, while for those aged 25 to 29, the figure is 8%. Youth unemployment is a major factor in the current EU economic crisis, standing at 55% in Macedonia, 46% in Spain, and 44% in Greece.
The Czech Finance Ministry is seeking to name and shame around 28,000 companies via a new website listing those who owe the taxman unpaid VAT. According to figures cited by Hospodářské noviny, the Czech state loses around 30 billion crowns annually on tax avoidance, around half of which is in the field of unpaid VAT. The new blacklist, which is set to begin operating next January, is designed to provide a disincentive for such avoidance, as customers will presumably avoid companies publicly shamed for not paying their taxes. However, critics, including the Czech Chamber of Commerce, have criticized the plan, saying the current definition for such avoidance is too vague and could lead to many companies being listed unfairly. The Czech Small and Medium Business Association, though, welcomed the intent of the move, but also expressed concerns about the methodology. The law, which would enable Finance Minister Kalousek to establish the new system, is currently being debated in Parliament.
Two of the Czech Republic's largest supermarket chains, Tesco and Ahold, are to pay hundreds of thousands of crowns in fines levied by the country's Czech Agriculture and Food Inspectorate Authority. Tesco has been fined the most, 750,000 crowns, while Ahold, which operates stores under the Albert name, has been fined 500,000. According to the inspectorate, the fines are an accumulation of numerous breaches of standards, such as selling falsified, poor quality, or relabeled goods over the last year. Overall, the agency has levied over 7 million crowns worth of fines for improper practices this year alone. Findings, including the relabeling of out-of-date over-the-counter foods, are a common occurrence in both larger chains and smaller stores in the Czech Republic.
That was Dominic Yuen with the business news this week. And we turn to today's main feature. In this week's Arts, my guest is Jana Fantová. She's the head of Comics Fest, which returns in October. She's also the curator of an exhibition on now at a 19th century chateau in eastern Bohemia. Entitled 13 Chambers of Comics, the exhibition highlights works by some of the country's best graphic novel illustrators and artists. I began by asking Jana Fantová about the main aim of the show.
Present current comics in Czech Republic, and because it's during summer, the main aim isn't to present their epic theory, but mainly to present works of the artists. So it should be some kind of leisure time exhibition for the visitors of the castle of Kostelec.
Would you say it's unusual for such a show to be hosted by a castle outside of Prague?
It definitely is. It's a little bit difficult to even gain some places in Prague or to find galleries which would be willing to support comics. So it's very unusual to have this exhibition outside Prague, especially in a small town in East Bohemia.
The whole idea of it being in a chateau, it must make for some interesting contrasts. What is the impression that visitors will get from the space and the contrast of the exhibition being about comics as it is?
Well, actually, there is no contrast, which is the most surprising thing, because the castle is in a classic style, so the walls and the garden are quite neat and everything is in order. And that's why different styles of different artists fit in this space and do not interfere with each other or with the place as such. It seems that the Czech scene is totally different from the mainstream US comics, because what is the specific of Czech comics is that we don't have mainstream. We have only underground, actually perceived as a mainstream, but we don't have special heroes. Actually, there's only one hero in a series by Czech artist, which is Voleman by Jiří Grus. But other artists draw mainly short stories from everyday life, and actually these pictures and this situation quite fit in the chateau.
When we talk about that, first, why do you think it is that Czech artists are much less mainstream, that they choose topics that are off of the beaten path?
There are several reasons, but the first one, I would say there's no tradition of the mainstream comics in Czech Republic. The other reason is that artists, they are mostly painters who are interested in comics, or designers or whatever else. There is no school focusing on comics, no theory focusing on comics. It's getting better since 2000. That's why all these new artists are called Generation Zero, because they started in 2000. And actually they started from zero because they wanted to change the style, because previous artists like Kaja Saudek, everyone copied him. He is famous mainly for his two novels. One is Muriel a Anděle, Muriel and Angels, and the other one is Muriel a Oranžová smrt, Muriel and the Orange Death. The second one was collected by publishing house and was released a few years ago, but the first one was released in, I think, 1991, and was a big source of inspiration for all artists since 90s, but in 2000 there were more translated comics in Czech Republic, so they can new artists can get inspiration from other artists all around the world as well, or even to choose to make their own style. So I think that the 2000 with the big offer of translated comics helped actually Czech scene to develop.
And one of the most famous in recent years was the series by Jaroslav Rugish and Jaromir 99 about a crazed railway man, or a haunted railway man, in the Czech Republic, in the Sudetenland. What are some of the examples in the exhibition, say, of artists who are deserving of a wider audience, say?
Well, there are 13 chambers or rooms. 11 of them are dedicated to each artist. There are Jiří Grus and Jaromír 99, who were already mentioned, but the others are Lucy Lomová. Her comics were translated into French and English. Renata Fučíková, Václav Schleich, Dan Černý, Tomáš Kučerovský, Karel Jerjevič are quite big names in the Czech comics scene. Each of them had his or her own room, and he or she could present their work as he wanted. So you can find not only comics there, but also paintings, figures, all their portfolios.
Say, do you have a preference for any of the artists, their visual style or the type of narrative that they tell?
From women, I like Lela Geislerová, and from men, my favorite one is Dan Černý. And actually, Lela makes more like a surrealistic stories focusing on a women's life. And Dan Černý, he actually doesn't make underground in the Czech comics. He tries to make a good comic art, and that's why I like it, even when he uses zombies or other horror topics, but he really focuses on the story and the plot, which should be really good.
Would you say that today the medium of comics is much more widely respected in the Czech Republic than in previous years?
Well, I think that even publishing houses accept comics as some kind of a new and respected media in Czech Republic. It definitely is getting better on the scene and seeing comics as good as a normal written book. And I think that comics is now being used for, especially for kind of educational function, because it's the easiest way how to explain someone some topic or something. On the other hand, I have to say that in some ways it's really simple way how to explain things, and if someone thinks that Shakespeare in comics will make children read, I don't know. But it's respected, and I hope that publishers will get more space for authors to invent their own stories, because now sometimes it's sometimes like an advertisement, or that the artist should be the pencil for a writer.
And what kind of reaction did you have from the public so far?
It's strange, because it's only positive. I'm glad for that, but somewhere is hidden if this is true, because I think that someone shouldn't be satisfied so much. But it's nice to hear that everyone likes it.
And that was my guest in this week's Arts, Jana Fantova, talking about an exhibition on now in at a chateau in eastern Bohemia. The exhibition is called 13 Chambers of Comics. It's about the Czech Republic's Generation Zero, of a generation of artists and graphic novel illustrators. Very highly recommended. That brings us to our final portion of today's show, which is a continuation, as you well know, of our long-running language series now in reruns, the ABC of Czech, and that, of course, is hosted by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's own Czech learning program in which we examine the use of numbers in everyday Czech. Today I'm joined by
Linda Maštelíř,
and we'll be looking at the Czech verb
počítat,
to count. It covers the range of the English verbs to count, to reckon, to compute, to do sums, choose what you like. In maths, you will often hear the perfective form of the verb, which is either
spočítat or vypočítat,
both meaning to come to a result by counting. The result, as well as the process of calculation of an equation, for example, is
výpočet.
The verb can be used in a figurative sense, just like in English. To count on, as in to count on somebody or something, is
počítat s někým
or
počítat s něčím.
If you'd like to tell someone not to count on you, you can say
nepočítejte se mnou.
In the sense of to guess, to reckon, you can come across the sentence
počítám, že přijde pozdě.
He'll arrive late, I reckon. Slavonic languages are tricky in that they use lots of prefixes which alter the meanings of verbs, something like phrasal verbs in English. Adding a prefix and a reflexive pronoun, you'll get the verb
přepočítat se,
which means to miscalculate, to make a mistake, to make a wrong judgment. The adjective
vypočítavý
is not a very nice one. It describes someone who likes to take advantage of situations, someone who calculates first whether something will pay off, someone shrewd, verging on manipulative. In short, it means the same as the English word calculating. The verb
počítat
is also part of an idiom.
Spočítat na prstech jedné ruky.
To count on the fingers of one hand. It means that there are so few people or items that they can be counted on the fingers of one hand. That is 5 maximum. And that's it for today. We'll be back with more numbers next time. Till then,
naschledanou!
Numbers there in that episode of the ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková. And, well, we hope you're doing well with your Czech. It must be coming along very nicely indeed if you've been following that series and others that preceded it or came afterwards, which we've also been repeating. We're going to leave you now. I'm afraid we are out of time. I'm Jan Wellinger for myself and all of us here at Radio Prague. Thank you so much for joining us this day, and take care.